Wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, my friends, wherever you are in the world and whatever time of day it is, it's a day to be in your body, in pleasure, in joy for just being alive. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your physician, your coach, your change advocate, and I have an amazing guest with me today. I have Sarah Ward with me. We are going to be talking literally about getting dressed and undressed. We have Sarah literally believes, like I do, that pleasure and play is a key to wellness and health. And she is doing all she can to help men and women bring in their best pleasure and their best play. She's a certified sexologist. She's a somatic sex coach. And she guides clients to reconnect with their bodies, reclaim their pleasure, shed shame, which is often rooted in good old-fashioned religious and cultural conditioning. Before this, because this was not her first rodeo, she was a decade as a wardrobe stylist and art director. She is creative as anyone can be. She's got 5,000 plus photo shoots under her belt. She really helps clients bring out themselves, their authentic selves, for years fully clothed. And now what she's doing is help them feel into their authentic selves, clothed and unclothed, really. Help them feel fully authentic in their skin. Her work blends science, somatics, and soul with the embodied presence not only of an educator, but a creative dancer as well. She's got it all. She's a scientist. She has literally surveyed 300 people. This is not fly from the seat of your pants, making it up as you go along. My friends, as I tell you, there is magic and science in everything. Magic is the edge beyond science. There is magic, and then we prove it and understand it, and then we push the magic out one level beyond. So Sarah, welcome to my show. I'm so excited to interview you, so excited you chose to come on this morning. And I love what you wrote down. Everyone's in their head, and it's what's wrecking intimacy. If we want to start there, because let me tell you, I'm a freaking physician living, watching my life for so long, not living it, right?
Yeah.
And in and out of the bedroom, right? The constant narrator keeping me going. So tell me your story. Let's start just with your story a little bit, like how you got into the art directing stuff, the stylist stuff, and then how you took that literally to the next level, up, out, in, I don't know which direction, right?
Sideways, yeah. It's such a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much, Dr. Tina, for that lovely introduction. I found myself in 2009 at this kind of crossroads where I was like, God, I'm really not happy doing what I was doing. And I had somehow had this idea that I had to stay with things that were difficult because that's how I was raised. I was taught to just like,
you never quit.
Intuitiveness. And I thought that it was a good thing about me. And then I realized that it was like, it was killing me. I was so unhappy. I was having panic attacks going to work. And I realized, oh, what if you could decide to do something that you loved to do instead? And so I became an image consultant. And so I worked with people in their wardrobes, being invited into their bedrooms for a totally different reason.
Right. When you think about it, really interesting. When you invite someone into your closet,
yeah,
that's huge. So it just occurred to me two things, which I once got this from a patient and who got it from her therapist, and I use it all the time, of boundary setting. And imagine your body as a house, like you're let, and who do you let in who do you meet at the gate, at the street? Who do you let into your living room, your dining room, your bedroom, and your closet, right?
Yeah.
And how that actually affects that invitation of boundary setting of who you let into your inner world. So yeah. Go ahead. You were getting invited into the inner world. It's
absolutely
beautiful.
Yeah. And it felt so sacred. It was like totally this inner sanctum, and sex would come up in conversation when we were there. I would be seeing lingerie, you know, and people would be, you know, kind of whispering about the sex that they were having in bathrooms at parties. You know, people were kind of bringing me into that. And yet that wasn't what I was doing at the time. So I was living in Seattle and I was working, I took the image consulting into editorial styling. And so I was working for Fortune 500 companies and publicly traded companies doing these photo shoots all day, every day. And so I was working closely with models and directing them and helping them to just like look and feel really comfortable in uh-huh. front of the camera. And so much of that was like moving the body, laughing, like teasing, flirting, cajoling, kind of like getting them into this energy of like, you know, playfulness, which yeah. I think it's really hard for us to access. That type of like laughter, that type of like movement and shaking out. And so I feel like, you know, as we're having this conversation too, like I'm picking up some of those threads of like, oh, wow, look at the ways that we've been doing what we've been doing for so long, even before getting into this current.
Yeah, you intuited it. It was how you intuited play and pleasure to have their authentic light be seen, be shown. That's what, when I take a medical history now, I do a timeline from birth on and even what happened in your parents, because that's how I see their light and I see where they've dimmed it.
Yeah.
And bringing it back and all the trials and tribulations that led to where their stuckness. I'm like, yeah. Let's re-look at it as your superpowers, that these are here as gifts to unlock your superpower. Let's find your superpower.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we're all meant to heal.
I hear the ways that you're just like reanimating people and bringing them back to life. What a gift it must be to be a patient of yours, Dr. Tina. Oh my God. Yeah. Gorgeous.
It's fun. So, all right. So now you're with the models and you're in with the Fortune 500 companies and you're still not in the bedroom talking sex.
Totally.
So how do you make that jump from, especially from corporate America, even yeah. though you were the art part of corporate America,
yeah.
which is the more feminine invitation, surrender, expression part of corporate America, yeah. which corporate America, like, let's lock that in a box and close it up. We use that for marketing, but we don't let it out of the box.
Yes, exactly. It was very much like being a square peg in a round hole or round yeah. peg in a square hole, whatever
yeah.
the case might be. And there was a sense of, I remember so clearly, there was a client that I had who was going through a divorce. He was pursuing polyamory. He hired me to do his wardrobe and then he would send me out with his girlfriends. And he had a very specific idea for what he wanted them to look like. And it was so fascinating because like, it really changed the game for him when he redid his wardrobe. So he went from being kind of like dad style to like hot, like divorcee style, right?
Right.
It was literally a woman who had texted me after a date with him. And she said, you don't know me. We've never met, but I just wanted to say thank you. He was the best dressed man in the entire restaurant. And so it was such a turn on for him. I mean, like you think about peacocks, right? And how the male peacocks are the ones that are out there like strutting around and they're like showing their plumage. And yet like women have a lot more freedom of expression in their personal style than men do. So it was so beautiful to just be able to like excavate and decondition some of the stylistic things that he was holding on to of what he had to look like. And then he could have more fun and he could bring in that sex appeal and that kind of bad boy energy, which really worked for him. So we were having all of these conversations around right. what was happening in the bedroom with him. And that I just felt like that was going on so much on sets, working with my photographers, talking to my models, hearing about their wild experiences. And at the time I was married, at the time I was working through my own desire for a sexual liberation. I was trying to heat things up in our bedroom as well. So these were the books that I was reading. These were the conversations I was having. I saw Esther Perel.
We manifest what's going on
yeah.
internally. We can't actually separate That's that we are such integrative creatures of mind, body, heart, and spirit. And we try to keep them in boxes.
Oh, no.
And we can't. There, it's like I had a conversation years ago with my ex and my son about a feminine, well, I'll talk about it, right? A vaginismus on a patient where, she couldn't have sex, right? And they're like, is it the mind or the body? I'm like, both.
Actually.
No. But where does it start? The mind or the body? I'm like, both. There's no cutoff here.
No.
Like you can't separate. So anyway, you were becoming more fully you,
yes,
your business and your creative endeavors and we get paid for our life force. And so your life force was morphing and you needed to expand your life force. And I love that you were combining the two.
Yeah. And it was just sort of happening naturally, right? Without me necessarily like bringing that in. So when COVID happened and the world stood still and I started to see the writing on the wall that, oh my God, my marriage is ending. I started to think, okay, I need to pivot into something. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to be on set again in the way that I have been touching models in their personal space. Like we are close, right? As I'm like adjusting and getting everybody ready for their photo shoot. And so I thought, if there's anything that I could do, what would it be? And it was like this. And so I enrolled in a sex school, essentially, and the rest is history. So that, COVID actually, when everything like paused, that beautiful sacred pause in a way, like I know for so many people, it was really chaotic and it was for me too. And also it just gave me a new trajectory and permission to reiterate and to choose other things that would bring me joy. And I didn't have to wait for burnout. I didn't have to wait for things to go sideways in order to just choose that this is what I wanted.
Well, I love that. And I love that you listen to the whispers, right? Healing. And I talk about healing, right? And how we heal through play, but healing the, I say dis-ease in the body is the body talking to us. It's the microbiome and our human cells trying to get our attention, but it's a language we have lost, the art of listening. And you listen. So most of the time it whispers, then it speaks, and then it screams, right? And then, oh, we can't ignore it because it's usually painful when it's screaming. And so you listen to the whispers, and I just want to applaud you. I was actually telling a piece of my story yesterday and realizing the whisper in that event. And I, even though I knew something was off, it took like another 10, 15 years till I had the freaking muscle power, because I couldn't fail, make a mistake, what out of a marriage, you're not supposed to do that. It's bad for your kids, bad for your life, bad for your safety, right? And there was, at some point, it was like, all right, I'm done. I joke with my patients that, you know, I am the person that doesn't listen. And you have to give it to me 5, 10, 20 times before, oh, now I got it, right? How many times did I study even for tests? And I would study over and over and over again. I was a really good student, but I needed to go over it 100 times to get it right. And I, how you do one thing is how you do everything. So I don't listen.
Yes.
Till I have to. So it's time for our break. It's a good little, time for our first break. Friends, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, your witchy doctor, your coach and advocate. And we are with Sarah Ward, this amazing sexologist and stylish. How about styling yourself to be sexy in your own skin? I just love that. And we're going to take a break. Again, we're on the Inspired Choices Network because we love to be inspired. So let's have our first break.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul, from neuroscience to sensuality. from root chakra to real talk. She'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspire Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspire Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is your healing playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your witchy doctor host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. You can find us in all the places. You can, if you like listening to our podcast, you can find me on iTunes, Spotify, Apple. Please leave a 5-star review. Please share with your subscribers so more people can hear this message. We will put in the show notes all about Sarah Ward and where you can find her, this amazing sexologist, sex coach, stylist from the inside out, and scientist. So I'm going to bring up that she does do this with a science, like what's real and what's made up, right? And I want to bring out and move into COVID hit, time to pivot, and she didn't just pivot lightly. She has dove in the deep end of the pool really deep. And she's putting science behind it. So she notices that life for all genders is often about performance pressure. And when we even use that word performance or pressure, performance, number one fear for folks is public speaking. Performance in the bedroom is a form of public speaking. I haven't even thought of it, but I realized just now as I'm saying it. And pressure. Pressure is cortisol and stress. Both of those are the 180 degrees for true good sex, because true good sex is about getting the neurochemicals, literally moving your body out of stress and into pleasure. And it is that 180 degrees. But if we're going to sex with the same mindset that we go to work about performance and pressure, we're not going to have the sex we want. And believe me, I know, I lived it for many years. So she realized that there's women feeling the pressure to please, men feeling the pressure to perform. And she did a whole study about it and came up with new courses and new information. So Sarah, tell us what you learned when you really started to dive deep and ask these questions.
Absolutely. So as I was putting myself through sex school and becoming an erotic blueprints coach, I had been working for a social science research center. And so we were the primary research center that worked with the CDC during COVID. And so I learned a lot about research and how to conduct a study in this way. And so for years, I was like, I can't wait to conduct my own. I'm really so curious. And initially I really wanted to hear from women. And then I thought, actually, that feels incomplete to just talk to one gender. I really wanted to talk to all genders. And
thank you, because that's what science needs to do all the time. We need to study female cells, male cells, female bodies, male bodies, and not make inferences. Exactly. We are the same and we are different. We need to hear from both. So thank you.
Right. Yes, and gender nonconforming bodies also.
100%. So,
yeah, there was about 300 people that had come through my cliteracy quiz over the summer. And so in that survey, essentially, I asked a variety of different questions. And there was about 170 women and then 130-ish lovers. And so there was about 75% men and then about 25% females or gender nonconforming folks. And it was so fascinating to hear that what people were craving, particularly in female bodies, was safety. Safety. Where she was like, I need to feel safe. I need to feel like my whole body comes on board. I need to feel like my brain is included in the process before my genitals can be. So that was a huge theme. Safety. I want more foreplay. Let's slow it down. They didn't want to speed up. And this is what you and I know, right? Working in our field, that the female arousal, like the time that it takes for a female to get fully aroused is a lot longer than the time that it takes for a man to get fully aroused. So that was a really big thing that came up. And then on the male side of things, they were, before I switch, they were also saying, I don't want to perform for him. I feel like I have to do that. And so when people talked about faking orgasms, as many, I think, 2/3 or 3/4 of the women had, and they said, I don't anymore in many cases, but absolutely I faked it in the past. And it just feels as though this is what I have to be in order to placate, in order to make him feel good about himself, in order for, you know, somebody to like walk away feeling good, even though it's
a destination wedding, yeah, right? It's the sexual blueprint, as we've talked about, is about, you know, if you, we've been raised in the sexual blueprint, and there's an ending to sex, and the ending is the orgasm. The ending is the career. The ending is the money and the fame. The ending is success in some, your mommy and daddy's eyes.
Yeah.
The ending is a baby, right? And none of those is true. Pleasure and joy is in the experience of life. It's in the experience. Totally. It's not in the ending. And you know, 3 hours of lovemaking, and if there's no orgasm, it's useless, really? There was intimacy, there was connection, there was pleasure and play. When you're on the playground and you're going on the swing and higher and higher and higher, is there an ending? No.
Right. Does there have to be? And pardon me, in case you hear my cat in the background, it is feeding time right now. And I like to joke that I'm in full service of pussy in this household. If I could say that word on the radio, I'm not sure, but here we are. So there was that pressure to perform, right? And when we're having to perform, it is taking us into the state of like, well, I want to give him something back. Like, he's been going down on me for 2 hours. I would really like to return the favor by having an orgasm, as though you just being there in your juicy goodness is not enough. Somehow.
Right.
So what I noticed is that the performance was happening on both sides of things. It was happening in women and female bodies, vulva beings, because they were feeling like they had to perform an orgasm. Mm-hmm. And then in male bodies, they were feeling like they had to get it up and keep it up. And as we know, right, like when you're stressed out, the cortisol piece that you brought up, it's absolutely going to be antithetical to our ability to stay turned on and to stay present in that situation.
Right.
So it struck me so interesting as like two sides of the same coin, that we're feeling the pressure on both sides. And people don't even know how to name it, is the thing. Like, what they know is women come to me saying, I can't get out of my head in the bedroom. And the men coming to me saying, I can't keep it up in the bedroom. But what they're not seeing is the bigger story about how this is actually conditioning. This isn't just them. We all got brought up in this puritanical culture that has its roots in purity culture. And purity culture has like seeped into every facet. It seeps into the doctor's office. It seeps into the fact that, when we go to church, we're told to, well, you know what, if sex is painful for you, why don't you try to get dinner on the table by 6 p.m. and maybe see if that changes something, as though that's like a
can't imagine it.
How? I have no words. Amazing. And then it seeps into like policy, right? Like the policies that are being written for women's bodies and their access to reproductive care. Oh. We're seeing it all around and in the lack of sex education that we received. And so if you're challenging this, ultimately you're swimming upstream. And I have so much compassion and empathy for all of the people that are lying in their beds at home going like, how do we talk about sex? Because we just haven't had it modeled. We don't have good scripts. There's so much shame attached to it. And I spoke to a woman over the summer who was married, legally, lawfully married, but she'd grown up in the Mormon church like I had. And even though she was allowed to be having sex, allowed to be having pleasure, every time she orgasmed, she was filled, just blanketed by shame in a way that she could not sustain it.
You can't raise somebody and put them like you're in a box with a lock and key. Don't be sexy. Actually, I shouldn't say that, because when you have to attract in the male, that's your job. Yes. So yes. You need to be really sexy.
Yes.
And then you're not allowed to act on it. But only if you're married. But you've spent 18 years of your life being told, tame it down, tame it down, tame it down. It's da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden, all right, here's the key. You've just been conditioned to be one way. And like, as if you could take off an outer coat and and go swimming. Like, you have to learn how to swim.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, and it's if you're still wearing the fur coat in the pool, like you're going to like,
yeah,
your likelihood of drowning in shame is very, that's
where yeah, it's like you can't, how do they expect? And then I had a couple come to me. Well, not the couple, a woman come to me. So, so sad. So different religion, not, well, the husband was a different religion than she was, but he said, I love you so much. I feel like you're my sister. I can't have sex with my sister because I love you like I would love a family member. And so she thought she wasn't attractive. He was all like, I love you too much to have sex, because, you know, you have the woman, maiden, Madonna, mother, crone, right? And he's like, if you're going to be the mother of my kids, or people whose sex life die the minute they become the mother of their kids, right? Because it's like, wait, I can't fit in all these boxes. You have to be in one box.
Yeah.
And how do people negotiate without education?
It's so tricky. And there is a decolonization process that has to occur in order for us to like shed all of this conditioning that was given to us. I mean, Emily Nagoski, like,
oh, she's great. Come as you are.
Perfectly. Come as you are. Exactly. Where she says, each of us are born and we're given this plot of land, and this plot of land is our sexuality. And people, before we're conscious of it, are planting all sorts of things into this plot of land. And we don't even become aware of it until much later, decades in, when we're like, what the hell is this that is screwing up my sex life? And now these roots go so deep. Like, you have veritable trees that are growing in this plot of land now.
Oh, I had a forest. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so it is up to you to be like pulling it. It is literal work that we got to roll up our sleeves and we got to get in there and pull out the things that are no longer in support of us. And then there's a vacuum. And unless you fill the vacuum very consciously and with intention, then vacuums just attract more things that.
Oh, I like that concept.
Exactly.
And it's funny that you're talking about weeding the garden and tending the garden, because I'm putting together pieces for like a TED talk, right?
Yeah.
Fertility patients and all medicine, right? When we say I have something, the subconscious continues to give it, right? And so we need to change our language. A friend of mine said, her friend told her when she was diagnosed with a cancer diagnosis, you don't have cancer, you're journeying through it, you're cancering. So that way her subconscious is like, oh, this is just a bridge from side A to side B. right? I'm just going through a bridge of life. Fertility, you're going through a bridge of life. You're going from, but you are a fertile goddess. You are put on this planet to be a fertile goddess. So I want to talk about, there's a great TED Talk, and they go from baseball, which is all about competition, to ordering pizza. And that sex should be about ordering pizza. Do you want, you know, do you want sausage or pepperoni? Do you want red sauce or white sauce? Right? It's a conversation. Sex should be a conversation, not a competition, right? And so I want to do a TED Talk about language, and the two language for fertility is either where the seeds are getting ready to germinate. They're having a discussion of who's going to germinate first. We're weeding the garden in the uterus, planting, tilling, getting all the right vitamins and nutrients. My seeds are just a little, or we're having a party and we're, you know, they're looking for the right outfit to wear, you know, like let's be playful in our language. So people, women, remember, you are meant to be fertile. We accept that it's normal to be infertile now. Yeah. No, that's ridiculous. Right? And so sexuality, we're taking sex out of reproduction.
Ooh.
We're cattle farming women right now. That's what IVF is. And AI is going to cattle farm us unless we take back our pleasure and sexuality.
Oh, my God.
And literally, we are giving the reins. I've talked to my researchers. Like, we're giving the reins to AI to put us in the matrix. So we're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back and talk more about how we regrow the garden, because that's what you're doing now. So friends, we're going to take a break. Coming back, we will talk about reseeding the garden with Sarah Ward, my guest, amazing stylist and coach, sexologist, scientist, all of it in one beautiful box. And you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. And please come back as we talk more about replanting the good seeds for your sex life.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends, my play friends, my play dates, my pleasure seekers. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, host of Your Healing Playground, where we heal through play. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. We have an amazing guest today, Sarah Ward, stylist and sex coach both. and she helps you get dressed and undressed authentically. And what we're going to talk about in this segment, we alluded to it, but it's about replanting the seeds to grow the garden to make your sex life bloom in the way you want it to bloom. And she has put together this program that she's about to launch, Clitoracy, which I love. I actually used to have a little, I don't know, 3x5 card, that democracy without clitoracy, it's a fallacy. And fallacy, you know, spelled PH. Anyway, so let's talk about clitoracy, because let's talk about pleasure in both sides of the coin, for men, for women. We're all in this together. Healing is a joint effort. Sexuality, you can do it soloed, you could do it partnered.
Yes.
And it's really fun if you learn your own body. So tell me about your program.
Yeah, absolutely.
And about helping people get in touch with their sexuality.
Thank you for that invitation, Dr. Tina. So when I had done all of this research over the summer, it felt very clear to me that something was missing, and that so much of what we're learning about sex is still performative, and it's still very technically facing, where it's like, do this to make her come when you are going down on her, right? Like, you look at men's health articles or Cosmo or GQ, and it's super technical, as right. opposed to presence based.
Mm-hmm.
Can you establish safety, and can you hold them in your mind as you are with their bodies? Because I think we've all had these experiences where our bodies are touching, but our minds or our hearts are very far. And as you and I both know from an energetic blueprint perspective, that can really cause people to completely shut down. That energetic
completely short circuit.
Short
You're
circuit.
Out of your body.
Like, you're so sensitive to it. And this is happening more than we know. And we are training ourselves, right? Like, when women are tuning into erotica and fantasy and men are tuning into porn, we are basically training our bodies to not be present with the sensation. We are going into the mind, and mm-hmm. we are up here instead of dropping in and allowing ourselves to really feel all of the goodness. But the thing is that this is where sex is happening. Sex is happening below the neck.
Yeah.
Although, of course, our biggest, most throbbing sex organ is actually the brain, right? So yes, we do need to get the brain on board. So it feels like this is an invitation for people to come back to their native way of being, to their indigenous roots, for us to like clear some of that clutter and plant better seeds so that we can be better lovers to ourselves first mm-hmm. and foremost, and to another or many others.
Yeah, so I agree. And I really, as a physician, I recognize sexuality is just a part of the human experience, and mm-hmm. therefore it was important to talk about. I recently worked with a somatic therapist, right? And she taught me a trauma release tool. And I was like, this is an energetic orgasm. This is just breathing. I mean, she taught me how to do it. So, right. And I was like, of course, sexuality is trauma release. It is moving somatically all the energy through the body. It is integrating thought, image, emotion, body sensation, which is what we do in the accelerated evolution world to yes. move trauma. You have yes. to recreate the situation, thought, image, emotion, body sensation, yes. and give it a different ending, right? You're rewriting the ending so that you're no longer traumatized by it. You bring it back up. Think about an intense integration experience, the way you were trained in AE. You bring the experience back up, but you give it a new ending in the now.
Yes.
You pair it to the now, and you close the energy circuit, so you stop ruminating over what happened in the past. And your past mm-hmm. gets gently buried as an experience that you don't have to carry in your body anymore. And that is our gift. Sexuality is animals, right? When they're stressed, they've run from the coyote. The rabbit just escaped the coyote, and they do. They shake off their stress. My somatic therapist is teaching me how to shake off my stress. Freaking A, that's sexuality, folks.
Yes, yes. And to go along with that, what you were describing sounds so much like kink as well, where you're establishing these parameters of a placing, of something that you would like to try on for size. And what is everybody comfortable with? And how would we like for that to go? And so it's an opportunity that we can script things and have them end a different way, which is so lovely. And it's the tantric approach. We have breath. We have sounding, we have movement, we have awareness. All of these things go into sex. And you don't have to just lie there. You don't have to be quiet. And so many of us learned to do that because it was like, well, I don't want anybody to know that I'm having an orgasm over here. And so we're actually like dampening, we're putting wet blankets onto our eroticism and to our pleasure, when truly, if you are amplifying, if you are singing the song of your pleasure, it actually like turns up the dial of your pleasure.
Let me just tell you that I came into this world with some level of tantricanness, breath work practice, progressive muscle relaxation. I was 4, I was 5. I don't remember whether I had my voice connected to it or not, but I taught my next door neighbors, here, if you just squeeze your muscles and breathe, if you squeeze your muscles and breathe, it feels really good. And like, I was literally 5 years old. It was first grade, because that's when they moved into the neighborhood. So I know when it was. And I was told the next day, my mommy said you should never, ever, ever, ever do that. And why? And I don't like your mom anyway, so I'm not going to listen to your mom. But I also knew somehow not to tell my family, because what if they took it away from me, right? So I had this energetic practice, the progressive muscle relaxation, tantric breathing, my whole life, but in silence. Complete silence. Well, let me tell you that I'm a girl, I was trying to, you know, reconnect with my body as a teenager and on. And I knew how to do it energetically. I didn't know how to do it through physical touch. Like I did, but I didn't, you know, whatever. Anyway, on my journey after being with Jaya, all of a sudden I connected my voice on a retreat with her. And it was like literally clearing, you know, like when you have a drain that is blocked and you unlock it in the geyser. You know, because it was like freaking A, my body just opened up. And I realized we are a wind instrument. We are open from here to our sacral root. 6 feet of intestinal open. We are a wind instrument that can be played. And I remember having like my voice started coming on board, I'm having this sexual encounter. And I was like, I'm a guitar. He's playing me.
Yes.
Right. And when you touch here on this level and you touch here and anyway, it was this unlocking that I didn't plan on doing. And there's a movie recently about a very famous opera singer.
Ah, yes. Maria. Angelina Jolie played her. No.
Yes. I think it
Marie
was.
Marie Callas.
Yes. And she talks about during World War II, she was abused as a 16-year-old by the soldiers. And she and her sister, the sister's like, just get over it, just get over it.
My God.
And she made a comment and I realized what happened is she opened up her breath and she became operatic when her operatic voice came from her traumatic sexual experience.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I don't think anyone ever put the two together, but I'm sitting it on the screen and I'm like, oh yeah, she knows that if she heals that, she doesn't have her voice anymore. They're connected, right? And how much in our lives do we hold the trauma and the freedom and how much they're connected? And we have to heal, and we heal by re-changing the story, right? Physically, emotionally, mentally. And the body recalibrates, revibrates, and we can heal so many illnesses through sexuality. Mm-hmm. We can heal relationships through collaboration. Anyway,
yes.
Speaking of the choir, I hope people are listening to this, because sexuality is your gift to the parasympathetic nervous system to heal.
Yes, yes. And I have had those experiences too, where I have felt my body being played like a guitar, right? Where it, like, he knows the instrument of my body. And right. It started by me knowing the instrument of my body.
100%. Right? We're going to take a break and we're going to come back for our last little segment. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your witchy doctor, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your host. You can find me at drtinaplays.com. We are with Sarah Ward today, sexologist and stylist, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. Please subscribe. Please follow us. Learn about being clitorate, whether you're male or female, whether you have one or you want to play with one or both. And we're going to take our last break.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
Welcome.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back, my friends. You are on the Inspired Choices Network with this podcast, Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coach and stylist, Sarah Ward. You can find her at her website, sarahward.co. And sorry, we're having some technical glitches, excuse me. In our 5 to 7 minutes left, I want to ask you, as you are more integrated with your business and your stylist, how has that changed you? How does that change your clients? What success can they expect? And tell our listeners how they can find you to get more of what you offer.
Absolutely. So I wanted to kind of pick up a thread from what we had been talking about earlier around the idea of pleasure being a healing modality. So I consider what I do as sort of like a form of EMDR, except we're using pleasure. And so the invitation of just like feeling pleasure in the body, which doesn't necessarily mean that you're jerking off. Pleasure can literally be just like stroking your face really sweetly, giving touch and comfort during the day in the form of a hug or a squeeze. Like, these are ways that we can have access to pleasure. So as far as like my journey, I mean, I was taking pleasure and it felt like it was illegal for so many years. And now I'm relishing in pleasure and just knowing that I am a self-sustaining organism that can have all of this good juju. And I don't necessarily need to have a partner, although it's a beautiful thing to experience it with a partner. So that permission giving is such a big piece, to be able to give permission to myself. And in case you need it from somebody else, in case you're somebody who is looking for external validation, as so many of us still do, let me be the one that says that this is your permission slip. You are allowed to feel all of the wonderful, juicy goodness that is unlocked for you And it might take a little while to get there, and that's okay. It's a journey. And the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. So what else did you ask, Dr. Tina?
How, give us a like a snippet of your clients and they work with you, and how does that, how has that transformed their life? Like what can they expect when they open up Pandora's box and allow pleasure to live, you know, no longer in secret, right?
Absolutely. Okay, beautiful. So I was working with a client recently, and he had been in a lovership with a woman, and he's like, Sarah, she hasn't been able to come. And he really wanted to come to me so that he could be the type of lover that somebody would want to be with and who could play her body like this wind instrument, like what we were talking about. And so I, in two sessions, like we dove right in, and I gave him a bunch of anatomy. I brought out the clitoris, and I was showing him on the model, like, try stroking this way, and you can attach, you can access it here through the labia. Did you know that the clitoris isn't just a button, that it's actually this entire
wishbone?
She has a wishbone. She's got legs. Girls got legs. So I was giving him different ways that he could approach the clitoris. And he sent me an email on Sunday morning, and he said, I just wanted you to know that girl that hadn't been able to orgasm the other night, I gave her 3 orgasms with relative ease with what you had taught me. And it was so wonderful to hear that feedback too, that I know it works, right? Like, I've seen it happen in my body, and also it's happening with my clients and with their lovers.
And what I would say, what I would say in our 3 minutes left, and I bet, right, and I want to throw this out there to the men and the women both, she felt his desire to be present with her. And so she felt safe to let go because she knew he cared enough, and he probably brought that energy, that presence to loving her and not being stuck to a script that he read in a book.
Yes.
Like, I don't know it all. I'm going to get help. And he brought the energy of, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just going to try and do what I can do to you. So you probably got him out of a textbook and into the energetic connection with the partner.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is safety for the woman to surrender, right? We invite in because of their presence. We surrender and allow them to penetrate when we're safe. Yeah. And in that safety, we can express, and that in that expression, they claim. And those are the two male-female triangles. And we will support, you know, the feminine in anybody will support the masculine. So energetically, when you're free to express, you're going to support your own structure in your life to manifest what you want, right? So your own energy, which is your feminine, gives life to the structure, which, let's say, is how you run your business or how you run your household. And we're always dancing with the different, anyway, and you're giving the freedom for people to be erotic beings. And I just want to celebrate that this is where healing happens, folks. Healing doesn't happen in disconnection. Healing happens in connection. It can happen in the relationship between doctor and patient, but it can happen between coach, it can happen with your teacher, it can happen with your best friend. Yeah. Healing happens in your body. No one else is here to save you. No one else can heal you. But the healing is in the contact and the connection between humans, between human and animal, human and the planet. And when we start healing ourselves, we heal our relationship to other humans, to furry friends, to the planet, and perhaps we'll evolve into a real civilization with civility.
This is where we're going. This is where we're going. We're going on a major.
I say love is in the world. Love is in the word evolution, and life, you know, we evil is hidden in that live as well. So love has to conquer the evil because that's the way we evolve.
Yeah.
And so please, my friends, trust that you are a self-cleaning oven and you can heal yourself and reach out to heal. Thank you for listening, my listeners.
If you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness, play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine.